Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's philanthropic community, where our goal is to inform, inspire, and impact our listening audience. We do this by featuring nonprofits who share all the great things that they're doing and how they're making a difference in our community. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group. If you have kids that went to college, like I did, you know the feeling of worrying about if they're eating well or getting the support they need to handle tough college life. You know the feeling when your child calls and just wants to talk because maybe they're having a tough day or they're feeling lonely. Maybe they want you to send some money so they can go get a pizza for a late night study sesh. Whatever the reason is, you're just happy they're reaching out, right? Now think of those students who may not have a support system to reach out to. Think about how tough it can be for them. Today we're going to learn about a nonprofit that steps in the gap for young adults who might need a little extra help, encouragement, and support in their higher education journey. And then we'll learn about another nonprofit that provides support to those who care for others in a variety of ways. My first guest today is Brooke Ellen Teuber, founder and director of Campus Guardians of Wisconsin, who provides that parental role, that support system that so many young adult students need as they navigate their higher education journey. Welcome to the show today, Brooke Ellen.
Good morning, Jill. Thank you so much for having me. And I just want to say thank you as well to Ellenbecker Investment Group for giving us the opportunity to come here and speak with you today.
Well, you're certainly welcome. Happy to have you here and look forward to learning all about Campus Guardians. Why don't you start by telling us what inspired you to create Campus Guardians of Wisconsin?
So I would say my inspiration was going to college myself. Certainly that happened. It was a long time ago, though, for me. I do have adult children now of my own who have gone off to college. But I know when I went off to college, I relied on my parents. I did call. I'd ask them for money. I'd rely on them to do my laundry still. And when I sent my own children off to college, I wanted to provide that same level of support to my kids. So I'm checking in with them. I'm calling them. I'm giving them a tank of gas when they need a tank of gas, and just making sure that I'm touching base, showing them that I'm here, we're still supporting you, and you can get through those tough days. Because we know that college is a difficult transition. You go from being a kid to suddenly being an adult. And so when I sent my youngest daughter off to college in Colorado, I was on the Facebook page for parents. And here was a mom who was on the campus who was putting together these great little care packages and delivering them right to the college campus to kids. And there was an opportunity for the parents to buy a care package and have it delivered. And so I looked at the opportunity and thought, oh, that's a fun way to be able to send my kids some treats and stuff like that, just brighten their day every once in a while. And so I went on, I bought a couple care packages, and as I was checking out, there was an ask button, and it said, would you be willing to give an added donation here so that maybe a care package could be provided to someone who wouldn't otherwise receive one? Mm. And I thought, that touched me. Of course, I'm going to do it for my own child, but I'm going to do that for somebody else too. And I love the idea so much, and here I am in Wisconsin, and here I'm doing this for some student in Colorado. I thought to myself, can I be doing this for some student in Wisconsin? And so I got online and I thought I'm going to just quietly Google and figure out if there's some organization out there. I'll donate a few dollars and I'll get this off and running and somebody will get some support. And what I found is that I didn't see any sort of parent program that was going on for that. And I do have a background in working with kids who have come up through the foster care system, who have been maybe in homes where they were abused or neglected or even victimized in some sort of way, and who have come into adulthood without any traditional supports of their own. And I thought of those kids and I thought, wow, they would be the ones I would love to send a care package to. And so that's kind of formed my idea of Campus Guardians.
And so you mentioned that you work primarily with kids that are coming out of the foster care system, correct?
Well, actually, I'm an assistant district attorney in Jefferson County, Wisconsin, and my role is as a criminal prosecutor dealing with all sorts of aspects of the criminal justice system. But one of the areas that I've tended to specialize in my career has been violent crimes involving children. And so I have seen kids who have come up through the system, through the criminal justice system. And I've seen these kids either follow one or two common paths. One is going to be to follow in the footsteps of the people who are the role models to them, and they'll find themselves unemployed, addicted, incarcerated, facing early pregnancy, maybe homelessness. Mm. And then I see those kids who are doing everything they can to break the cycle. And they're going off and they're trying to better their circumstances, but they're doing it oftentimes on their own.
And so I imagine that that professional piece had such an influence on your vision for this whole idea.
It did. In fact, my first contact when I wanted to get this idea off and running was to contact my local human services department. These are individuals that I've been working with my entire career. They've also been working with these same population of kids. And I pitched this idea that privately, I was just going to ask, do you know some kids in our community that maybe we've worked with over the years that could just have this boost in their life? And they were quick to identify five kids within our community who had gone off to college. And I thought, okay, I'm going to privately send them these boxes. And once I started explaining to other people what I was doing, the idea took off that it didn't just need to be me. Our entire community could be supporting this.
Yeah, it was something that grew bigger than you.
Correct.
Right, yeah, which is wonderful. Well, how many would you say, how many former foster kids pursue higher education?
So there's around 7,000 youth in the Wisconsin foster care system at any time. And 50 to 69% of those former foster youth are going to graduate from high school. But on average, only 10% are going to go on to pursue higher education. And roughly 3% are going to actually go on to earn a four-year college degree. So that's a pretty staggering statistic. And it tells us how hard it is for these students to actually get in the door of a school,
right,
let alone stay and graduate.
Yeah. Well, we know, or maybe some people don't, that former foster students are likely to receive some kind of support from the university and the schools. So how does the support that Campus Guardians provides differ?
So there are a lot of traditional supports that are within the university system in that kids may qualify for financial aid. They may qualify for scholarships, some housing assistance, meal planning, student resource type services within the university. But what they're not receiving is that familial or parental level of support. It's like what you were talking about when you started this out and said, who's going to buy a pizza for these kids? Who's going to help them decorate their dorm room? Who's going to buy them a coffee on the way to class? And that's where Campus Guardians steps in. We are providing that little added touch, what I like to call like a mood booster. It's when you come back from your maybe a long day at work and you find a chocolate on your desk and you just think, oh, that's just what I needed. And it just gives you that moment where you're like, ah, I know that day was bad, but it just got a little bit better.
Always makes it
better. And that's what we're hoping for. We're hoping that these kids are going to get some package from us, and it's just going to make that little bit of a difference in their day and maybe in their life.
Yeah. Well, tell us how you're providing the support then.
So we're actually sending full care packages, six of them, well, actually seven care packages to these students throughout an academic year. We're sending three boxes to them in the fall semester, three boxes in the spring semester, and then we're sending something for their birthday. These boxes are full of just goodies and gadgets and treats and snacks, and importantly, We include cards and letters of encouragement that have been written by people in our community that are just telling them, hey, somebody's out there. We're cheering for you. We want you to succeed.
Yeah, we see you.
We
right?
see you. Yeah. We actually had one young lady who told us as part of the impact it's had on her that she has hung every single card that she has ever received on her dorm room wall because it just reminds her there's someone on the sidelines.
Yeah. And again, everybody needs that, right? Well, tell us what it costs. How much does it cost to support a student involved with Campus Guardians?
The average cost of a box is $50. And I'm going to take you back to the start of the segment when I was telling you how Campus Guardians, the idea of Campus Guardians got formed was this mom off in Boulder, Colorado, who was, you know, busy making these boxes in her house. When I thought about trying to send boxes, I became overwhelmed with this idea. I don't want to have a storage unit. I don't want to be buying snacks at Sam's Club and everything like that and stacking them up. And so I called this mom in Boulder. I actually used it as an opportunity to go and visit my own daughter at college. We met over coffee and I said, would you provide these boxes to my students as well? And so we formed a partnership. And so for the cost of $50, she puts together the entire box of snacks and treats. She ships them directly to our students at the university. And that's the flat rate that we're paying. And so with seven boxes that we send, it costs us $350 per student per year.
Okay. Wow. What a great idea. And we are always looking for opportunities to connect with our kids, right? So what a great opportunity then to see your daughter and also to connect with this woman. So I say it all the time that it's so important that nonprofits are collaborating because together we can have that much more of an impact, right? Well, it's got to be so incredibly difficult to choose who you support because, as you said, the need is so great. We're actually going to take a quick break right now, and when we return, we'll dive into that a little bit deeper. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm continuing my conversation today with Brooke Teuber, Brooke Ellen Teuber, founder of Campus Guardians of Wisconsin. You see so many kids in need, as you talked about briefly in the last segment. How do you possibly decide who you're going to select for participation?
One of the first things that we had to do was think about how we were going to establish criteria. And then how we were going to be able to monitor the students that we were selecting and make sure that, A, they were continuing on with education, or B, we could find them. Some of these kids can be really transient, and so they move a lot. And so we needed a middleman. And that is where those local human services departments came in for us. It's how I got started. I went to my own local human services department in Jefferson County. And I reach out to them and I ask them to identify some students that they know. I'm also being sensitive to the confidentiality of these kids and to the fact that maybe they don't want some stranger suddenly reaching out. And some of these kids are a little distrusting, too. So they're not used to getting gifts for free, no strings attached.
Right.
And so by using our local human services department, they can tell us who are some of the kids that they know have the highest level of need, the lowest level of support, prioritize maybe some of those kids over some kids who've maybe had kinship care or been raised by grandparents or other relatives. And then what they do is reach out to the student and just say, would you be interested in participating? And if those kids say yes, they refer them to us. We send them a survey. We get to know them a little bit, where they eat, stuff like that. And then we continue to use their case manager or that person within the human services department as kind of our person to make sure that are they still going to school? Are they still following through? And so the criteria for us is, in fact, are they pursuing higher education and have they come through the foster care system in some way?
Okay. And then you had mentioned that you're in Jefferson County. Are you only serving Jefferson County, or what other parts of Wisconsin are you serving?
We are now serving 13 counties. We have students in over 22 different universities.
Nice.
What started as 5 students my first year, and this was fall of 2023, so we're just 2 years in, we've quadrupled in size.
Oh, my goodness.
We're serving 22 students this year. And so, yes, it started in Jefferson County. I did a soft expansion into neighboring counties, Waukesha, Milwaukee, in our second year. But funding was still getting off the ground, and we wanted to make sure we could continue doing this. And so we had to be very careful about not getting too big too fast.
Right.
And then we had an opportunity to go and meet with the Wisconsin Association of Collegiate Registrars and Admissions Officers at their annual conference. And that really showcased us to the entire University of Wisconsin college system. And it gave us an opportunity not only to introduce our organization, but to see the enthusiastic response that universities and colleges had to the program we were offering. It tells us that there's absolutely a need for an organization like ours to be out there to help support this population of students. And we hope to be able to now use those universities within the entire state of Wisconsin to help us identify students as well. So we've expanded into the southeastern region of Wisconsin currently, and we're looking to get statewide in the next few years.
That's wonderful. And I imagine this model could be replicated in other states. I mean, would you be open to something like similar to what you did? Somebody calls you and says, Brooke Ellen, I see what you're doing. I think it's awesome. Can we do this in Florida or can we do this in California? It's something that can be replicated, right?
I think it can. And yeah. As we're trying to expand now, it's even just this idea of, do we have to create chapters within the state of Wisconsin? Because I do have this professional position in my regular career. And then this is kind of, I don't want to call it a hobby, but right. My second job at night. And so, yeah, you can't be everywhere.
Exactly.
Doing everything.
Exactly. Well, you're doing great. And the expansion where you've expanded so far is wonderful. So it isn't unusual for people to be curious about a nonprofit's impact. That's why I love when guests share stories of impact. How do you or Campus Guardians measure the impact of your support?
Well, we would love to get feedback from our students and hear that whatever we're doing is working for them. It's giving them that little mood boost. It's making their day. And we have had some of that type of feedback. Like I said, I had the young lady who hung the cards. I've heard from students. One, we got a gift card just for some clothes, to buy clothes at the beginning of the school year. And what we heard, it was the first opportunity the student had ever bought something for themselves, mm-hmm. because the clothing they had was either a hand-me-down or a donation. We had another student tell us that they used a gift card that they received from us to actually buy a gift for someone else. That was something that they had never been able to do, and they wanted to show a level of support to someone else. So feedback's great. But again, we don't expect that. I think another measure that we could look at would be graduation. Not going to take credit for the hard work that these individual students are putting into getting their own degree, but we just hope that our support might be a small part of their success. I would love to share one thank you card that we received. And it said, "Dear Campus Guardians, I'm highly appreciative of this masterpiece of a box. To come home after a double shift at work to nothing but snacks and fun gadgets lets me know no matter how by myself I am in this home, I am never alone."
Oh, that's wonderful. Those are the things that we like to share, because that just really tells us that what you're doing is working. That's great. Well, you've given us a really good understanding of why you're passionate about Campus Guardians' mission. Tell us now why you hope the community will embrace your organization.
Quite simply, the student population that we're talking about are often an overlooked population in our community. I think that was the first thing I started hearing when I was sharing what Campus Guardians was about, and I was talking to people in the community about it. The first thing they thought was, oh my gosh, I've never thought about those students. I've never thought about those kids. And there is a lot of community support for foster children when they're within the system. But once you age out, you're oftentimes entirely on your own. And we know that there are even foster parents out there who would love to continue to provide support for the kids they fostered in their homes. Wonderful people. But they're also looking to take in the next group of children who need a home. I heard you also say on a prior podcast, Jill, as I was listening, that today's students are tomorrow's leaders. And we couldn't agree with you more. So an education benefits an individual, but an educated individual will benefit our entire community.
I love that. That's so true, too. Well, if somebody's listening, great organization, Brooke Ellen, great things that you're doing. If somebody's listening and they want to jump on the bandwagon, they want to do something, either they themselves have a college student or they know of some college students that need help, and they want to do something, what does Campus Guardian need currently to be able to continue to fulfill your mission?
Well, the easiest answer is always going to be money. It allows us to be able to purchase those boxes. It allows us to be able to continue to shipping them to the student throughout the year. If you want to go to our website, which is campusguardianswi.org, you would find some more information. You would also find a donate button, which would allow us to continue to purchase those boxes and support those students. We're always looking for $25 or $50 gift cards to common box stores. Think of your Targets, your Walmarts, your Amazon Marketplace type thing, because we like to include gift cards in our student boxes. We do a survey, and maybe we can treat them to dinner at Olive Garden sometime or send them an opportunity so they can decorate their dorm. So that's certainly another area we would love to receive some donations. But last but not least, those cards and letters of support. I think the words that you get from the people that are around you telling you, you matter, mm-hmm. that somebody out there cares about you, are way more valuable than the little bag of Doritos or snacks or treats that you're going to get in this box. Mm-hmm. And so maybe some of your community members, maybe some of your listeners, they're part of civic organizations. They're part of a group that gets together for a lunch once a month. And if they want to take the time and just grab a box of blank cards and fill out a couple of words of encouragement, our address can be found on our website. Quite simply, it's P.O. Box 205. Jefferson, Wisconsin.
There you go.
53549. I would love those letters. And those kids love getting mail.
And that's kind of a lost art, don't you think? I mean, there's not too many people writing thank you notes, actually writing them out. In a digital world, those handwritten notes seem to get less and less.
Yeah, so I'm a little old school, so I mean, I still expect to find mail in my mailbox.
Yes, I'm there with you.
When you find mail in your mailbox and you actually find like a card that someone sent you for your birthday or for, you know, just, hey, I'm thinking of you.
Right.
Boy, that just does. It just makes a big difference.
It does. Well, if you can give us contact information one more time. So if you're listening, you want to grab a pen or pencil and a piece of paper and write down some contact information.
Absolutely. I would tell you, first and foremost, you can check out our website. It will have all of our forms of contact on there, but that was campusguardianswi.org. Our P.O. Box is P.O. Box 205, Jefferson, Wisconsin, 53549. You can find us on Instagram as Campus Guardians of Wisconsin. You can find us on Facebook as Campus Guardians of Wisconsin. And to the best of my knowledge, we're the only Campus Guardians of Wisconsin out there. So you should be able to find us, and we would welcome that contact.
Okay. Well, thank you, Brooke Ellen Teuber, founder of Campus Guardians of Wisconsin. Thank you for being here today and sharing your heart with all of us.
Thank you again for having me.
You're certainly welcome. Well, we've learned about a great nonprofit, Campus Guardians, that is caring for a population that is often overlooked and providing the support they need to be encouraged and loved on. But a topic of concern, especially when discussing mental health, is what about care for the caregiver? You know, they need support and encouragement too, because you cannot possibly give what you don't have. Caregivers need their cups to be filled to overflowing in order to care for others in a loving and compassionate way. In our next segment, we're going to learn about a nonprofit who provides this much needed support. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guest today is Holly Mealy, founder of The Right Relief, whose mission is to care for caregivers so they feel a sense of relief from the possible pressure and feelings of being overwhelmed. Welcome to the show today, Holly.
Thank you so much for having me. I really am thankful to EIG for the opportunity to speak and share our mission.
Well, we're happy to have you here today. Tell us what inspired you to care for caregivers and start the Right Relief.
So I have a personal history, I guess you could say, of caregiving in my family. And I've always had kind of a soft spot for caregivers. They are just those often in the background people who day after day show up and despite whatever else they have going on in their work life, personal life, they just pour into their loved one who needs that support. So I had the opportunity to visit a friend staying at Ronald McDonald House here in Milwaukee and saw just the fridge full of leftover food. It was later at night that she was able to go take after being at the hospital all day. And I just got some information that day of how could I cook here? Because that's awesome. My family received meals when my dad was going through cancer treatment back in 2010, and they still have left this impact on me. And I always remember that feeling of getting home after several days in the hospital with him to a gorgeous, it was actually Thanksgiving time, of all the sides, homemade dessert, everything that just was exactly what we didn't know we needed. But once it was there, it was, wow, we have not had a solid meal in like 3 days. And yeah, so I just really wanted to be able to give back to caregivers and provide that sense of relief and that just knowing that someone is there and cares. And yeah.
So why do you focus on the caregiver versus the patient?
Sure. So I'm sure you all have heard of the numerous fundraisers or, you know, a 5K walk to support a certain type of cancer. There's events like this all over the area every weekend, it seems like, which is great. And all of that really goes towards supporting the patient and research in order to find cures and all these important things. But there's not a ton of resources for the caregiver. And so that's why we focus solely on them so that, you know, and we know that it does impact the patient as well. Because
right,
if the
right.
caregiver is nourished and just has that emotional kind of support, then they're able to do a better job of caring.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like I said at the beginning, you can't give what you don't have.
Exactly.
And so if you're being filled yourself to overflowing, then you have something to give
exactly.
to somebody else. Well, who are the caregivers that you serve?
Yes. So we focus on any unpaid caregiver. So it could be someone that has a sick child and maybe in the NICU or at Children's Hospital. It could be a spouse caring for, you know, their husband or wife, or maybe they just had a short outpatient surgery, all the way up to maybe they're having chemo treatments for an entire year. And we do serve a lot of caregivers who have elderly parents, possibly with dementia or Alzheimer's, that they're caring for either in their own home or maybe, you know, the parents are still trying to be independent in their homes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I understand, doing some research on your website, that mm-hmm. you have something called belly hugs, mm-hmm. which sounds really quite fun.
Yes.
What are those?
Yes. So it's just, you know, kind of a fancy word for a meal. but we, you know, it's more than a meal, as I've kind of alluded to here. It's the feeling. It's that, oh, wow, someone else made this for me and took the time out of their day to shop for this, prepare it, cook it, clean up from it, and deliver it. It is just overwhelming at times, right, to know that that's happening. And so it really goes back to my personal feeling of that Thanksgiving dinner of just, it's, you know, it's been 15 years and I still think about the actual plates that they were brought on. It was a holiday themed plate and I still know the pattern of it because of just the impact that that had. And yeah, it's just a hug for your belly. There's no other better way to say it.
Yeah. And I like what you said before about sometimes we don't know we need it. You know, mm-hmm. you might be going through something as a caregiver myself, you don't think about yourself.
Yes.
I mean, you're just providing the support you think others need.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you get something like mm-hmm. a belly hug,
yeah.
which sounds, I like that term,
yeah. Yeah.
You say, wow, this is really quite nice,
yeah.
you know, and someone's loving on me now so
exactly.
that I can then better love on someone else. Yeah,
exactly.
What are the challenges that you have in getting relief to caregivers?
Sure. So it might sound surprising, but one of the challenges is getting the caregiver to accept the help because I have heard, we're doing fine, give it to someone who needs it more. I mean, I hear that a lot more than you would think. So that's a pretty big challenge. And then secondly, it's finding the caregivers. So, you know, when we first started, we didn't have a ton of recognition or presence, say, like in hospital settings or where the caregivers are. And so as we've expanded over the last 6 or 7 years here, we've been able to get a little more connection with like social workers at local cancer centers and just places where the caregivers are. Because if they don't know about us, a lot of people will say that once they receive their first meal, oh, I didn't even know that this existed. That's one of our biggest challenges, is just having the enough caregivers to provide the relief to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it just made me think about what you just said. We didn't even know this existed.
Yes.
And that happens so often.
It does. Mm-hmm.
With some of the nonprofits that we interview, because we're saying, here are these people that are doing all this wonderful work. Mm-hmm. Isn't it great that we're able to bring awareness to them, because people don't know they exist? But then you think about it and you're like, but people don't know they exist.
Right.
And, you know, we have to get the word out there. I'm sure that there are plenty of people that would love to help.
Mm-hmm.
But oftentimes they need to be asked.
Yes.
You know, it's mm-hmm. not that they just appear.
Exactly.
They could, which is wonderful. You know, you just, wouldn't that be wonderful? You go to your website and you've got 10 mm-hmm. people that are saying, we're here, we'll
right.
help you.
Yep.
That doesn't always happen. That's
mm-hmm.
not always the case.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening today and you have a heart to serve,
mm-hmm.
In any way,
mm-hmm.
The right relief might be a place that you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Holly had set a personal goal for her nonprofit, and she actually reached it in 2023. And then, being a leader as she is, she went on to expand on that for a new goal with much more impact. Find out what that's all about after our short commercial break. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and we're finishing out our time today with Holly Mealy, founder of The Right Relief. So, Holly, tell us about your initial goal that you actually reached in 2023 and how you expanded on it.
So our initial goal was to provide 5,475 meals to caregivers. And that seems like kind of a random number, but it came from the number of meals I had at my childhood home with my family. I lived, you know, there for about 15 years, one meal together per day. That's what it equaled. So all of those meals, every single one, had an impact on me. And, you know, it was the kind of the kitchen table where we shared the ups and downs, and all through my father's health journey, and just they meant a lot to me, and I wanted to carry that through so that our meals would mean a lot to the caregivers we served. So I initially thought that would take about 10 years. I had no idea the need that there was and the speed at which we would accomplish that. So just a couple years after founding in 2023, we accomplished that goal, celebrated, and then decided, well, we're not going to stop. Obviously, this is a huge need. So what else can we do? And we decided to just 10x it. And so our new goal is 54,750 doses of relief. And so that is going to include not only our meals, those belly hug meals, but also some doses of relief. If you think about having a headache, you take like a dose of Tylenol or something like that, and your headache goes away. next week it might come back, you would take another dose, right? And so that's what we encourage caregivers to do. Yes, a meal today would be great. It's going to provide that little, deep breath relief for one night. But if you're in it for the long haul, which a lot of caregivers are, chemo lasts over a year. Dementia can last years, right? And you're going to need some more support and relief. And it's okay to ask for that, accept that. Again, as we've been saying, the more support you have, the better job you're going to be able to do in caregiving. So those doses include gas cards, and those, if you're traveling to medical appointments, massage and movie theater certificates for the caregiver to go take a break if they're able, even for an hour or two, a one-time house cleaning service if you have your loved one in your home. And then seasonally, we offer brewer ticket vouchers. Again, kind of a go take a break, enjoy something that's not medical based, and come back feeling refreshed. So when we, add all of those up with all of our meals, we're hoping to reach that 54,750 goal.
Yeah. Do you know where you're at?
Yeah, we're at about 5,000.
So oh, very nice.
In the last, about 2.5 years, we've been, starting to track those.
Okay.
Slowly but surely.
That's right. Well, yes. That's how you attack a goal like that. That's good. So you have these things called dose of relief, and those include massages, movie tickets, brewer's games, home cleaning. That's a good one. Gas cards, because again, these go to the caregiver, not the patient.
Right.
But as you mentioned in our first segment together, it benefits the patient as well, right? So, and then of course, the meal program is considered a dose of relief as well. And what about like gift cards for Aldi's or Pick and Save or things like that?
That's certainly something we could do if it's a need. But again, we enjoy cooking, and I have volunteers that love to cook and provide those belly hugs. So generally, we purchase the food and make the meals and deliver them.
Right. But like someone, for example, someone says, oh, you know, I'd really love to be able to do that, but I don't have the time.
Sure.
But I'd love to contribute somehow.
Sure.
So I'll send a gift card, and then Holly can go buy the food. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Right. Would always accept grocery gift cards. Yes. Gas cards.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sounds good. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then how do you go about raising the funds for these doses of relief?
Sure. Dose on average is about $25 to $30. And we have one large fundraiser every year in March. And then we also get a lot of donations back from caregivers, which is just, again, I did not expect that, but I should have, because that's just the caregiver nature and spirit, right? Is, wow, you gave me this great meal. I felt so loved once I got this. I want to do this for someone else. And the nice thing about caregivers is that they know a lot of caregivers and are always trying to refer them and let them know about us. And wow, this helped me a lot. Let's, I want to refer you so that you get a meal as well.
Mm-hmm. And we love to share impact stories because I think I talked about that with Brooke Ellen, that it really is a great way for our listeners to understand that what you're doing is actually working. Mm-hmm. So do you have a particularly impactful story that you'd like to share with us?
Yes. So we receive messages all the time, right? Like after a meal delivery or, and a lot of them are, wow, this meal is so good. It was delicious. I love the cookies, so we get tons of those messages. And then we also receive, more personal ones like, this is the first hot meal I've had in XYZ time, or the volunteers who dropped this off were the first smiling faces I have seen in a week, right? Mm-hmm. You think about that. How much even a smile, not even the food, but the smile can do.
Yeah, warm smile.
We had one younger mother who had a child in the NICU for several months, and we sent her, she was up in the Green Bay area, and we had sent her a gift card for a restaurant, and she said, wow, if I had to eat, one more meal from that cafeteria, I just wouldn't have eaten it. So we get messages like that.
It just leads me to another question. Yes. I'm thinking about when you sent this up to Green Bay.
Sure.
So you don't focus only in
correct
southeastern Wisconsin.
Correct. So the nice thing about expanding and doing our doses program is that a lot of those gift card or gift certificate type doses can be mailed or even do like an email delivery anywhere, right? So our home cooked meals are generally in this Milwaukee, Waukesha County area. We have expanded also to Madison and Central Wisconsin. We have two smaller chapters with a volunteer or two who cook. But otherwise, yes, we are able to mail any gift card anywhere. I mean, the state, the country.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, I imagine you rely heavily on your volunteers in order to carry out your mission.
Mm-hmm.
Give us some insight on who your volunteers are.
Yes. So we call our volunteers the Relief Squad. and many are retired individuals who are looking to give back and have the time either during the day or in the evenings. We bring about four or five of them when we go to larger places like Ronald McDonald House to cook for caregivers or Kathy's House, which is a hospital hotel kind of next to Freightert.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an all hands on deck because we cook for anywhere between, 30 to 60 people on those nights. And just the dishes alone, right? You need a person or two to keep up on the dishes. But we also have some of the Relief Squad cook in their own kitchens, like I do on a, maybe twice a month or monthly basis, where they purchase the groceries and get reimbursed. They cook, they deliver. I set up the dates and times with everybody and it works great. Our volunteers, many of them have been caregivers themselves and they just get it. And I often find they will send me messages after they deliver saying, wow, this was so impactful on me.
Right.
It just makes you feel good, right? Doing something nice for someone else. And, they're great advocates, spreading the mission. And again, when I say a lot of people still don't know about us 6 or 7 years in, and they will talk us up. That sounds like something Right Relief could help you with. Or, you should check out this. They're huge on our social media pages as far as the likes and the engagements that really help boost our presence. And we couldn't do it without them. They're huge help with our March fundraiser and getting raffle prizes and just helping with that too. So,
and do you have like an application process that a volunteer would go through, and is it on your website?
Yeah.
How is it easy for someone?
Yep. So when you go to our website, there's a little box to say, join our email list, and that'll, you just put that in and then I will contact you to get started. Yes. There's also a separate, page where it says request relief. So if you are the caregiver, you would just click that, fill out the form, or also refer a caregiver. So two separate forms there that they're able to access.
Okay. Yep. Wonderful. Well, we may have somebody listening that is saying, I have this dream or I have this cause on my heart that has actually happened to both of you, given your situations.
Yep.
Somebody might be wanting to start a nonprofit of their own. What would you say you've learned in your leadership role as the founder of the Right Relief that you would want to share with someone who might be interested in doing the same?
So, in my, previous career, I was a teacher, elementary age teacher, and I would not have considered myself, I guess, a leader. I was kind of a more quieter in the background kind of a person. And so it was surprising even to myself that I started this, and people often say, wow, how did you know to do that? And I guess the biggest thing I've learned is just, you have to just do it. Like, you can't be scared or nervous. You just have to do it. And it's taken a lot for me to kind of come out of my shell and be able to do that. But look at what we've done, right? If I hadn't, all of these caregivers would not have been helped.
Right, right. Kind of listen to that inner voice.
Yeah.
Telling you or directing
you. If you're passionate enough about it, it'll happen.
Well, in closing, why don't you give us the contact information that people can, how people can reach you?
So our website is therightreliefinc.org. Same with our email. It's just therightreliefinc therightrelief@gmail.com. Same for Facebook, at The Right Relief, Inc.
Okay, wonderful. Well, I want to thank you, Holly Mealy from The Right Relief, for sharing the passion you have for caring, loving on the caregivers. Thank you for being here today.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. And again, Brooke Ellen Teuber from Campus Guardians of Wisconsin. I'd like to thank you both for being here today and sharing your passion for providing support and encouragement in our community. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank
you. You're welcome. If you'd like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out to Campus Guardians or The Right Relief directly. And if you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, like our featured guest today, who you think would like to be featured themselves on the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. If you'd like to learn more about our rich nonprofit community and the important work that they're doing right here in southeastern Wisconsin and beyond, I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to learn more about how and why they make a difference. You can tune into News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. You can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, or you can listen on demand at your favorite streaming platform. And if you'd like to find a place to plug in and share your time, your talents, or your resources, give some thought to how you want to do that. What are the gifts that you've been blessed with, and how can you share them? How can you pour your gifts into someone else and fill a need or a void that may exist? I encourage you to use your gifts and talents to be a blessing and give a blessing, and you'll be making an impact in more ways than you can ever imagine. Thanks for listening today, and have a great day.